You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week has seen a couple of major announcements from the government regarding their response to COVID-19 and the Omicron variant. Firstly, the gap between the second vaccine and the booster shot has now been shortened from a four-month wait until just three, as well as the steps for Aotearoa to open up its borders have been laid out just recently. I spoke to Dr. Dion O'Neill, a principal investigator for Te Pū Naha Mātātini and a senior physics lecturer at the University of Auckland, about these decisions.
The gap between the second vaccination and the booster has now been shortened down to 3 months. Why do you think that this will make a difference?
Right. So if we're in a scenario where we had no COVID in the community and we thought we could keep it out for a long period of time, then having that four-month gap is good because you get a slightly better immune response that might last for a little bit longer compared with if you had that three-month gap. But if you're in a scenario where you actually have community transmission of COVID, particularly a highly infectious variant like Omicron, then you really want to have as much of the population boosted as quickly as possible or before they become exposed. And the reason you want that is because the protection you get from vaccination with Omicron wanes really quickly. So our vaccines were designed for old variants like Delta, and about 3 months after your second dose of the Pfizer vaccine, your protection against infection is down under 20%, probably only around 10% infection blocking. However, if you have that booster, then a week or so after you've had that booster dose, that protection against infection has bumped back up to about 60%. So still not quite as good as it might have been for protection against Delta. That's even higher, but it's still much higher than it would be. That 10% protection that you had unboosted isn't going to do much at all to stop transmission, whereas the 60% blocking is going to be much more effective, both individuals and for just the size of the entire outbreak. So by reducing that period between the doses from 4 months down to three, that means that there's approximately about 1 million extra New Zealanders who can get a booster dose now rather than having to wait for an entire month. And so what that means, if those people did go out, if they all got boosted tomorrow, then we've got 1 million people who are boosted before they're exposed to Omicron, as opposed to waiting until maybe some of those people have been exposed to Omicron. And so much more chance that when those people do get exposed, they're able to either block that infection. And of course, there's all the benefits around better health outcomes. So much less severe symptoms, much less chance of hospitalization.
Originally, the gap between the boosters was from 6 months, and then it went down to four, and then it went down to three. Is the effectiveness of the booster still the same as it would be if we had a six-month gap, or is it more effective now?
So it's going to be slightly less effective than if you'd had that longer period between, but you've got to say effective against what. So if you're likely to be exposed tomorrow to something, or if you're likely to be exposed in 1 week's time after your booster, for example, then obviously being boosted is much more effective than not being boosted and waiting until 6 months down the line and then getting boosted after an infection. So boosted after infection obviously isn't going to do you any good for the infection you already got. So it's a case of trading off that protection that you might get against some hypothetical infection in the distant future against protection against a infection that's much more likely to appear in the short term, so in the next month or so with this current Omicron outbreak we've got.
Mm-hmm. Could we see the resources for Māori vaccinations improve for the boosters from the first two jab rates?
So that's to be determined. While decreasing that period from 4 months down to 3 months, it's increased eligibility for a lot of Māori because Māori were later getting vaccinated than some other groups. But that eligibility isn't exactly the same as access. So if you're living far up the coast in Tairāwhiti, and it's a long drive into Gisborne to get vaccinated, that's still a long drive. And so it'll depend on those individual situations in particular regions and where the resources are still out there. And so there were more resources put in towards getting Māori vaccinated and to getting people in rural regions vaccinated, I believe, at the end of last year. And you'd need to see that pick up again But yes, if we don't, if we ignore that and we just say, well, you're eligible, that's fine, problem solved, then we are going to see a repeat of that situation of leaving a large fraction of people with poorer access to those vaccines and poorer vaccination rates as a consequence.
Do you think that allowing those aged 12 to 17 to also get the booster vaccine could slow down the spread in high schools?
Yeah, absolutely. So from just a disease modelling point of view, you want to have as many people vaccinated as possible. The reason that we haven't started vaccinating that age group, I believe, is because the Ministry of Health is waiting for confirmation that it is as safe as possible. They want to make sure that there's plenty of international evidence already that says it's safe to vaccinate that age group. I believe some countries are already vaccinating in that age group, others aren't. It's almost more of a bureaucratic, procedural, working through the paperwork measure. So we would expect to see that age group become eligible for those booster vaccinations soon.
What do you think that some of the impacts that the reopening of the borders could have on the rate of cases and hospitalisations in New Zealand?
Right, so the border reopening is very much a political decision. So it's not being done because we think it is completely safe. It's being done because we think, or the government think, that they can balance that risk of some increased cases coming into the community with all our other measures in the community and with having existing community spread. And so in the first instance, we're swapping from putting people in MIQ and managed facilities, asking them to isolate at home. Now, there's going to be obviously more cases leak through that than there have been through MIQ. Our MIQ is, for the most part, pretty good at stopping infections leaking out, even though some do make it through. We'll have a few more leak through once people are isolating at home, we'd expect. One big thing that we'd hope that, or one big opportunity to improve the proposed border settings would be around having much better testing for people who are isolating at home. So if we're requiring these people to isolate at home for 10 days or later on 7 days, but we're only giving them 2 rapid antigen tests to do during that period, there's a really high chance that we're going to miss infection to most people isolating at home. And rapid antigen tests are really cheap. They're on the order of $5 to $10. So they cost the government less than $10 per test, I believe. And the Ministry of Health's own advice on their website is that if you're using rapid antigen tests for trying to detect COVID in people who are at high risk of infection, and so this would presumably include people who have travelled from overseas and been on an aeroplane where they might have been exposed, then you need to be testing around every 2 days. So these rapid antigen tests, they're cheap and they're quick to use, but they have a much lower sensitivity than PCR tests. And so the way you get around that is you use many of them and use them more frequently, so every day or two. And then you've got a much better chance of detecting infections. And so given we're asking people to isolate for this extended period, we're doing all this work to try and keep people safe, we'd really like to see some better testing during that, just spending the sort of tens of dollars extra per person to try and make the most of the fact that these people are isolating, to try and make that effective at picking up any infections and then making sure those people are supported and making sure that those infections don't leak out into the community.
That was Dr. Dion O'Neill about the recent announcements of the booster gap shortening as well as the borders reopening.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.